broadcasting live from the beautiful Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa in Young Harris, Georgia, 2016 Business Writers Conference. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton at the Business Writers Conference 2016 in beautiful Brasstown Valley Resort. Stone, it's almost time for lunch.
We're rocking now. This is our pre-lunch episode.
I'm getting the paparazzi's here. Something big must be happening.
This must be a really important person, and I'm sure it is. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Miss Alexa Chilcutt. How are you?
I am well. Thank you.
So what brings you to the Business Writers Conference?
Well, actually, a couple of months ago, I did a speaker's workshop, and Jack Phillips was in attendance, mm-hmm. and so he came up to me afterwards and said, well, you're a great speaker, but now you need a book.
I've never heard that pickup line before.
I know, it's a great pickup line. So I'm here to figure out what my book is.
So what did you speak about?
Actually, I am a professor at the University of Alabama, and I'm the director of the public speaking program.
Oh,
so
wow.
I teach public speaking, but I'm also a public speaker and do a lot of professional workshops for people in any kind of business. So whether it's, accountants to dentists,
really?
to insurance.
No,
salesmen.
If you can help accountants, then
wow.
I'm sold.
I have helped accountants and people that work at banks. So people in any profession have to have really good presentation skills. And how many presentations have you probably sat through that you wished you weren't there?
A few, maybe.
A lot. And they happen every day. So unfortunately, there are a lot of business individuals that, whether they're selling a product or service, they have to give that information to an audience, and they don't have the skills. And the other part of that is that people are anxious about public speaking,
right?
Having that opportunity.
So now, what are some of the mistakes people make when it comes to public speaking?
Oh, the list is long.
Just what are some of the low-hanging fruit?
Okay, low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit is people think that they can wing it.
So that is across the board.
People think, I know this information. I'm so brilliant at it. have the credentials. But they don't take the time to actually put together a concise, clear, construction of the message for that audience in particular. But it starts with people think they can wing it, and then they get up there and nerves override them, or they just get so entrenched with kind of who they are and what they know that they forget about engaging with the audience.
So what do you recommend in that case? Instead of winging it, at least have
never
an outline?
Oh, no, it's a bigger process than
it's
that.
It's
a much bigger process.
Educate me, professor.
Okay, so here we go. There are three components,
all right?
First, you need to know how to create.
Create.
So craft a message.
Is this going to spell a word? Because that's my
favorite.
No,
but I'm going to use all C's.
Okay. Three C's.
All hard C's. Okay, so craft an effective message.
All right.
For the targeted audience.
Because that's important. It can't be just generic.
It cannot be
targeted.
Well, I mean, here's a good example. Let's say a pharmaceutical sales rep.
Right.
They know everything about the product. They mm-hmm. go to training for 6 months to know about the product. They know more than the doctors could. But they would not be successful if they went into every single doctor's office and gave the same pitch.
Right.
They need to know about why would I be marketing to this office in particular? So understanding your audience is huge, but crafting the message so that it kind of follows that old axiom, tell them what you're going to tell them, and tell them what you told them. And you always need to have three main points. So craft an effective message, cultivate dynamic delivery.
Okay. Cultivate dynamic.
Cultivate dynamic delivery.
So that sounds hard.
Craft a message, cultivate delivery. Well, you're in radio. You have to have some kind of delivery skills, right?
I'm a
vocal.
One-trick pony.
Okay, well, hey, but you're engaging, right? Even if people can't see you. So you have to think about, remember the movie Bueller's, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? Bueller.
That wasn't an effective delivery.
Wasn't dynamic. That's not dynamic. So helping people to cultivate dynamic delivery. And one of the easiest things that they can do, which is also the most painful, is recording themselves.
Like video recording? Because we don't do that here. This is
no,
we're an
but
audio
everybody
only
has
world.
this everybody has this thing now called a cell phone.
Yes.
And you can make a video.
Really?
Really. So recording yourself doing the entire presentation, and then the hard part is watching it.
It's a pretty unforgiving medium,
it's terrible,
right?
Because who even likes to listen to their voice message that they've created on their cell phone?
Right.
We all do that and then listen to the message and say to ourselves, I don't sound like
that.
That's not me.
That's
you probably did that when you got into radio, right? You listened to your first broadcast and said, who in the hell is that? So, you know, knowing that you have to have kind of a self-awareness and to be critical of yourself. And that's just part of the process of cultivating that delivery. So engaging with the audience, nobody wants to listen to you for 40 minutes. You know, so how do you build in some points of engagement? Questions, something that they have to do, the audience has to do. Maybe they turn to their partner and discuss a point or fill something out in a worksheet.
I'm going to pause you for 1 second here. In today's world, you mentioned cell phones and smartphones. How do you incorporate the technology, you know, as part? Because now I've been to a lot of presentations where the audience is like on their phone. And they may not be on their phone ignoring you, you know, playing Pokemon Go. They could be, you know, tweeting or live tweeting the event or doing something like that.
You can use it. You can use it.
That's ninja level. That's not for everybody.
No, it doesn't. I am not super
not
tech
a fan
savvy.
Of that?
I'm not too super tech savvy. And think about this. In my normal life, in my day job, I teach undergraduate students.
All right.
So that's
they never
really
have
difficult.
Right?
That's really difficult. But even I have figured out ways to plug them in. So I'll give a topic and we'll talk about attention getters. So you know that your topic of your presentation is X. Get online and find a shocking fact or statistic about that.
Right now.
Right now. And on the projector, I would pull up the internet and give them my Twitter address, pull up my Twitter feed.
And like a hashtag?
And and let them post to the Twitter feed that shocking fact or statistic.
Right there.
Right there
time.
In the middle of the lecture. So people can do that in professional presentations as well if they've got the hookup for the projector.
But that's
and
next
the internet.
Level stuff, right?
But I don't think so. I think
that's
anybody
now
could
table
do that.
Stakes? Everybody can do that?
You know what? Everybody can do it, but do they do,
do
it?
They? That takes some guts.
And so, man,
who knows
you,
where they're going to throw
you
up
could,
there?
Well, hey, I have been there where they've
exactly.
thrown some things up. But you know what? That's a great time for a laugh and breaks up the audience, and it's good.
And it makes it real and memorable.
Exactly.
And that's one of the objectives,
and they're engaged.
Right?
Absolutely.
All right. So you got one more C to go.
Calm public speaking anxiety. To create, cultivate, and calm.
So what? Deep breathing, a little yoga beforehand.
Cocktail.
That's another C. Where is that fit in that?
Let's save the cocktail for after the presentation. It's in celebratory kind of manner.
Congratulatory.
We're going to keep with the C's. Cocktail to congratulate yourself. Calming public speaking anxiety, really, it's about practice. The more you do it, the better you'll feel about the material. And the bottom line is, the more comfortable you are with the material, the less nervous you'll be because you can make it conversational.
Look at all those C's.
All those C's.
Conversational, comfortable, confidence.
Comfortable. Hey, we could go on forever.
But it does. It allows you to connect with your audience more effectively.
They're everywhere.
That was a complete accident. No, the picture in my head, and this won't be very effective speaking, but we'll get there in just a moment. My father was a high school basketball coach when I was a young kid.
Okay.
And once you can dribble without looking at the ball, that's when you can really play.
Mm-hmm.
So once you know your material and you're comfortable with that, then you can connect with your audience and genuinely serve them. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, because if you're not sure of the material, then a lot of things happen. First of all, you kind of have that deer in the headlights. Oh my gosh, am I going to forget the next word?
Right.
And then if you do forget the next, then you're lost. Or you're relying on the visual aid behind you, the PowerPoint. And we all hate that.
And we see it a lot, right? We've seen
it a lot. People are using PowerPoint or whatever they're doing, Prezi, as a crutch for their material, and they're reading off of it, but then you've lost the audience.
Right. If you're reading off that, everybody's thinking, why am I listening
to
this?
No, I'm here. You could have just sent me the slides, and I could stay at home in my pajamas.
Exactly.
But that's not just up on the dais. Either you made an excellent point or touched on one when you used the example of the pharmaceutical rep. Mm-hmm. Everything we're talking about here, it applies in those more intimate scenarios where you're with two or three prospective clients or you're making a presentation to the board. All of these same mistakes can crop up and all of these strategies are every bit as effective in that kind of environment.
Yes, absolutely. And especially when you're in a smaller group, you really do want to be comfortable enough with the material that you can think on your feet. Mm-hmm. So I know the material. These are the three main points that I'm going to break it out into. And as long as I kind of hit these points with everybody, but then it can be engaging. So people can ask you questions along the way and you can read the audience. This one thing that people don't do, and it drives me to distraction. They don't read their audience. If your audience's tone is zoning out, then you need to change tacks.
And you need to know it.
And you need to know it. You need
exactly. You just can't keep going boldly for what's my time in?
You know? Exactly. Well, okay. Are you ready for the gold? Here it is. If everyone would just take one thing, time is a parameter, not a requirement.
Right.
If somebody gives you 50 minutes, they really don't want you filling up
50 minutes.
The audience will never be upset. If you only go 40,
right?
But the 40 or the 30 was great. They will be mad if you go 55.
Exactly.
Or if you drag out that 50. So time is a parameter, not a requirement. Make it engaging. Have a well-constructed message. Cultivate dynamic delivery so that it's, you have energy. You need to have energy. Right. You need to be enthusiastic about the topic. Because if you don't, if you're so nervous that you're not engaging, then your audience is not going to buy into it.
Exactly. And some of it is that the speaker sometimes feels like they're a fraud, I find. You know, they don't really buy into themselves as being the expert that they're supposed to be. You never run into that?
Of course. Everybody does. Everybody thinks about having to be the sage on the stage, right? And that's a very... that's a bad position to put yourself into because then you're also thinking that you have to perform.
Right. And you have to defend everything.
Exactly. Instead of, and what I tell people is to kind of flip the model, forget about having to be the expert, forget about having to prove yourself, know the information or you wouldn't have been asked to speak. So you do, be comfortable with it, practice it, feel good about it. But when you go in there, think about the audience, not yourself. So I'm here to be beneficial for my audience. How can I get that? You want to be a gracious communicator.
Right.
And if you're thinking about them instead of thinking about proving yourself, you'll be much more effective.
Right.
So the undergraduate folks that you're working with, are they really embracing this? I bet that they probably enter into some of these conversations with some trepidation, but I bet when they get a few wins, they really grow in a hurry, don't they?
You know, some of them do. And here's the unfortunate thing. Undergraduates in college have, it's a class that they feel like they're having to take. Mm-hmm. And it's painful. And they don't really understand how necessary the skills are. So it's one of those things that they don't understand how much they need to know it.
Right.
And unfortunately, when they graduate and get out there and have a job where, oh my gosh, yeah, I really did need to listen in that class and be happy that I was having to do those speeches.
But, with a low risk,
right,
not
right.
my job on the line.
But there are some that truly you can see blossom. You can see, I mean,
yeah,
they're scared
be
and it's wonderful. And the students that I work with and the graduate students that help teach the labs, that's what's really the payoff for them is seeing that group of students nervous at the beginning and then they become kind of this group that encourage each other and
at the end, because they're all in it together.
Yeah, they're all, and that's what I tell them to teach each other. We're in this together. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be here. We're in it. And it's wonderful at the end of the semester, the classes that will, they love each other because they've kind of grown in this
and they shared this
place
kind of
insecurity
right,
that
they
now
nervous,
they've encouraged
then they were
each other,
right?
And honestly, it's the same thing with working with professionals. If you put them together in a group and you go through a workshop like that and they give each other feedback and work on it, then they're encouraging each other as well. And you can, even in a day,
see them
blossom.
What about generationally? Are you finding that like this generation is comfortable, like you mentioned, the phone, they got cameras, they got all this stuff at their disposal. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe 10, 15 years ago, it wasn't, you weren't always on, or you weren't sharing yourself performing. Are they more comfortable in the public speaking realm as opposed to a few years ago where you wouldn't have to do it, like you wouldn't do it as part of just your social life?
You know, I think it's worked to their disadvantage.
Because of the texting, like they don't communicate as much one-to-one or in person.
They don't. Yeah, they don't understand the face-to-face.
The human dynamic
potential,
the interaction.
Right. They don't understand how important that first impression is.
Right, or how they're being perceived.
How they're being perceived. Because everything online that they put out there is so constructed. Mm-hmm. You know, they can take 50 selfies
right,
and post
and
the best
one.
So it's like, yes, I always look that fabulous. No. But when they're in public in that moment, there are no do-overs.
Right.
And so that's a really risky place for
that's
them
right.
to be.
Saturday Night Live.
It is. And we also give them advice about image, not just the message, but they have to look like a professional. And that can be taken very critically by a lot of them. We have a class called What Not to Wear.
Really?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What can you share something? Because this is a lot of people's fear. They go up there and they do something. They make a huge mistake.
Sure.
So what do you do in
what
that?
What do you do
in that worst case? The imaginable. That you know your fear. If I go up there and I screw it up, or I say the wrong word, or I curse, or somebody asked me a question I don't know the sure. answer to. Like, how do you manage that kind of worst case scenario?
You know what? Humility. Hmm. It's all about being a real person.
Just be a human
so
being.
So if
out
you,
there.
That's right. If you walk up onto that stage and you have this persona of I'm the expert and you need to think of me as the expert and I'm so fabulous because I'm up here on the
right.
stage, and then you mess up, you're in trouble.
Right. Exactly.
Too bad. But if you are engaging to begin with and you're very personal and, you know, you're communicating with the audience, hey, we're in this together and I hope that this next 50 minutes is going to be great for you. And this is my, then, you know, you make a mistake. That was silly, wasn't it? All right, let's start over right there. You know, you can kind of own it in the moment and people will give you a lot of grace.
And
that's fine.
A good point regarding that is that when you come there as a human being and authentic and mm-hmm. Not the, what do you call it, sage on the stage.
Uh-huh.
People are rooting for you.
They
want you
forgiving.
To win. Yeah.
But
if you come up there, you know, holier than thou and I know everything and you
then
guys
they're
are
scrutinizing
me, then,
you.
Exactly.
Then you better deliver.
Right.
You're
putting
deliver.
More pressure on yourself.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I have found that I do a lot of continuing studies courses and training. And adult learners, you know, they're opting in to go to a course to
right.
learn a new skill or to hone their skills. They've sat through so many bad presentations. They've sat through so many experts that knew what they were talking about, but were terrible presenters.
Yeah.
And so if you can start by really opening up with something that's catchy, so some great attention getter instead of that old, hi, my name is Dr. Alexa Chilcutt.
And
I'm
here's my resume.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
right.
Nobody cares. They know who you are or they wouldn't be there. So, but if you can open up with something that grabs their attention and then at some point say, and I always do this, my goal in this next 50 minutes or, you know, I've done workshops for 6 hours, right? My goal in this next 6 hours is to make it feel like it was two. This is going to be great. And so we're going to do A, B, C. These are the three things that we're going to do throughout the day. But, you know, setting that, I'm going to make this as painless as humanly possible.
Right.
Then people do feel like, okay, all right, we're in it together. This is going to be
That's
good.
Right.
And so setting those expectations.
So now you're going to take all this knowledge, experience,
and I got to make a book.
And you're going to commit it to a book. Are you picking up some ideas so far in the conference that you feel like you can apply? Are you finding value in this experience?
Absolutely. Yesterday, just in the beginning, the first couple of sessions that I was in, you know, I've been writing diligently and everybody's been having some fabulous, really, here are some steps to creating the book. Here are some things that you need to think about. And so I've been writing and going back to my room and writing some more and brainstorming. So it's been incredibly productive. And at this point, I almost wish that I should have let a lot of other people know about the workshop, because I could see many, many other people benefiting from it. So,
what type of person do you think would benefit the most from it, from what you've experienced so far?
Well, you know, especially with this one, the Business Writers Conference, I think there's so many people in business that have that skill set, have some expertise, knowledge that
it would transfer to a really, book if they could understand just there's a process, go through the process.
And I think they know that they have the information to create a book, but to really walk through the process and have people walk you through the process that have done it saves you so much kind of ambiguity.
Right. It doesn't seem more manageable.
Right. Like it clarifies the process, and it gives you really good workable tips and, you know, steps. Everybody needs kind of a recipe for how to. So I think this would be great for anybody.
Well, I'm delighted to hear it, not the least little bit surprised. Congratulations on the work that you're doing. You must find it incredibly rewarding.
It is. It's a lot of fun. It is.
So if someone else kind of in the same boat wants to reach out and just have a conversation with you, some coordinates to connect, I don't know, like LinkedIn or email, whatever's appropriate. Sure. What's a good way to reach out?
If you have a website or blog.
Okay. Well, they can find me on LinkedIn, Alexa, A-L-A-X-A, Chilcutt, C-H-I-L-C-U-T-T. And also through the University of Alabama, I'm listed there as a faculty member. And my email is achilcutt@ua.edu. So,
well, thank you so much for coming by and hanging out.
Thank you for letting me just, you know, plop down on the couch and start a conversation.
No, this has been very informative and inspiring. You know, you and I, we're talking about putting the book together. And so this is very encouraging and inspiring.
Well, good. I'm glad. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
We'll be back in a few from the Business Writers Conference 2016.